on Triple J.
Triple J.
You're listening to 2016.
On Triple J, that's a track which I played towards the end of last year. It's from the English band Hon, and it's from one of their previous EPs. They've been releasing EPs for a couple of years, and now their debut record is coming out at the end of the week. It's called Warm on a Cold Night. The two guys behind Hon are based in London. James is the producer and guitarist, multi-instrumentalist really in the group. Andy also handles production, but he's the one with a fantastic voice, a really distinctive vocal style. Andy has. Now, both of these guys met at university. They met 7 years ago as well. Andy was studying music business. James was studying the guitar. And when I spoke to Andy this week, he talked about that first meeting between the two of them.
Like, we met on the first day. James was the first person I met. And we met in, like, the dinner queue. And, you know, when you go to uni, it's, you know, you're a bit scared and you're eager to meet people. And, yeah, we just happened to be next to each other. And within 3 days, we were writing music together. So it's kind of like a very quick turnaround. It was great, a great place to meet other people who were like-minded and kind of wanted to do music. So that's what we really went for, to kind of do all that kind of thing.
How much does that actually prepare you, now that you've had a couple of years as a group existing in the real world? How much does a course really set you up for the real world, especially in the music industry?
To be honest, I don't know. It's a tricky one. I don't think it does. It was really useful to go, but I don't think it can set you up really for anything, just because the industry for us, like, since we were at uni and up to now, it's changed like a whole deal. Like, obviously record sales, I don't know what it's like in Australia, but in the UK it's all about streaming now, and, you know, record sales have really plummeted. And it wasn't like that, you know, when we went to uni. But yeah, and it's just a case of, like, you don't really know what's going to work or what's not going to work until you're actually out there doing it. The way we've learned the best is just by trying things, you know, in the lead up. And fortunately, when James and I started writing some new music for Hon, you know, we'd kind of learned things in the past, and yeah, people started to kind of gravitate towards the music, and that's, you know, we're really lucky and fortunate to have been able to do that.
I think the other thing that Hon has, which everyone is striving for, is that individual sound. There's something very unique about what is the Hon sound that you've released over these EPs and now with this record. We'll talk a little bit more about influences in just a moment, but I want to play the song which everyone is getting to know and love, and your name is starting to spread worldwide now thanks to one of the tracks off the record, and that's the one with Izzy Bazoo, one we've been playing, Someone That Loves You. It's turning into a hit, isn't it?
I mean, I don't really know. I mean, I hope so. That would be really, really cool. And thank you guys for playing it so much. It's really, really great. But yeah, we had a great time making it. Like, it was kind of really random and, like, out of the blue, in that Izzy just mentioned on Twitter that she'd been listening to our music, and we thought, oh, cool, we'll get in touch. And we got around to our studio, and in, like, the afternoon, we'd written this song, and kind of came out of nowhere. Yeah, it was a bit weird, but we were just like, oh, wow, this is actually quite a good song. And then we both decided to put it out as our single. So, yeah, it was really easy, actually, at the end of it.
That's amazing. So I was actually going to ask you whether it was always intended to be a duet, but you essentially co-wrote it with her in the studio there and then.
Yeah, we did. It was, you know, a really nice collaborative effort. And quite often nowadays, when people do collabs, they don't even end up meeting the people that end up on the record, or, you know, it's done from the other side of the world. But this, yeah, it was really nice to have Izzy in the same room and really just kind of going at it, all three of us. So, yeah, it was really cool.
Listen, Andy from Hon is with us on Triple J. Let's hear this track, Someone That Loves You, from their album, which is coming out soon. And we'll chat a little bit more about who Hon are after this.
But what's it gonna do when you can't see?
So essentially, it's a duo.
Hello.
I've got to ask you because you listen to the record, and there's some fantastic bass playing on this record. Is that you, James, or is that someone else?
It is James. Yeah, he's one of the best multi instrumentalists I've met, or had the pleasure of working with. So yeah, he's incredible, and his guitar playing is insane. Like, if you get a chance to listen to one of our other records called All in the Valley, a couple of minutes in, it takes a surprising turn and there's this crazy guitar solo that leaps out of nowhere. He's really, really talented.
I've got to play a little. I know that track. I know that actually came out a couple of years ago on one of your early EPs, so I wasn't going to play that. I wasn't going to play that in full now because people might already know that. But let's just hear a little bit of that guitar playing because it's extraordinary. It just sort of leaps out of the song from nowhere, and it's really great. I wasn't sure who did it either, so let's spotlight James's guitar playing right now. So that is really wild. That's such a kind of almost heavy metal type guitar solo that...
I know, yeah.
Does he just sort of come up with that on the spot? Can he sort of generate sounds like that straight away?
Yeah. He's great. And at the time we were working on that song or writing it, he just played that and I was like, can that stay? Because it is kind of completely random and out of context. But we just both decided that, yeah, it was too good, to throw away, so it had to stay.
Absolutely. It's a great moment on the record. Listen, let's talk about what the idea of Hon is. Is it easy to describe to me? Because it's a very, as I said before, it's a very individual sound. There's not a lot of other groups around that I'm hearing at the moment that are kind of working off the influences you are, and you've got a very, you as a singer have got a very distinct style. What is Hon all about? What's the music that you're making, do you think?
I think, well, we always say it's quite romantic music, and it is, when you listen to the lyrics, it's all about, relationships, and it's very personal to either myself or James, because it's written about situations that I've been in, or in fact, situations that James has been in. But it's, generally speaking, it's very positive as well. It's not about breakups or anything. And also, just the general feeling, I feel like it's very warm and kind of sensual music as well. And that's how we describe it generally. And it's another thing is it's very nocturnal. And I think the reason being is that when we first started working on it, we were writing the music mainly at nighttime. So we were working jobs in the day, getting home and making music. And I think for that reason, it kind of has this kind of chilled out but nighttime vibe to it. And yeah, hopefully that puts us in our own little category, which is really cool.
And direct musical influences, I hear a lot of 70s music. I mean, I'm sort of struggling to pinpoint exactly who I think it sounds like, but I was hearing a bit of Stevie Wonder at various points. Can you kind of give, is it mainly the 70s, do you think, that the main influences?
I think, yeah, so there's kind of, it does, a lot of the chord progressions that we use, you're right, Stevie Wonder. James is growing up, a huge fan of Michael Jackson and, Quincy Jones productions that he did for Michael Jackson. And you can kind of hear that seeping into records, some of the drum sounds that we've used. And then it's also, a combination of people like that, but also kind of more up-to-date music. For example, James Blake and Frank Ocean. We're obviously huge fans of those guys.
Mm. Well, you, James Blake, Frank Ocean, you're all sort of putting your own twist on soul music, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And that's the roots of it. That sort of wonderful soul sounds of the 60s and 70s. What about you as a singer? You got to really, I mean, once again, lazy is a word that sounds like I'm having a go at you, but lazy, I mean, it's a really sort of lazy vocal approach that has something really different to it. Did you take a while to find your voice as a singer, or is that something that's just really natural to you?
It's, I think you've hit the nail on the head. Like, it is, I'm not the kind of singer who tries too hard. Like, I sit upstairs in this little room in my house and sit on a chair with the mic in my hand, like, not even on a stand. And yeah, you're right, it's very lazy and kind of, you know, almost awkward, the singing. But yeah, I'd rather sit down than stand up, so I think that's kind of how it's worked out. And it, yeah, I'm really happy with, you know, the way it all comes across.
Well, this album's a great time to catch up. If you haven't sort of twigged to the previous EPs that you've been putting out the last couple of years, you can get this record, which is coming out soon. Andy from the English band Hon has been with us. Now, just to complete the picture of who you are, Hon is a Japanese word. Can you tell us what it means and why you picked it as the band name?
Yeah, so it means true feelings. It's a word that they use to describe feelings that you keep to yourself or share with either, you know, really close companions or your good friends. And it's a huge part of the Japanese culture. And there's another word called tatamai, which is the counterpart, and that's feelings that you would share with everyone else, or it's kind of your personal front or your public persona. So the way it works is, even though you might think one thing, you're displaying something else on the outside.
Where did you find out about these terms?
Well, we didn't really know about it. I think James was kind of just looking online. We were, you know, as always, most bands probably do, struggling to think of, you know, what we should be called. And, you know, spent, you know, days on end trying to look for interesting words or whatever it is. But everything seemed to be taken. And then James, you know, stumbled across this word and we're like, right, that is it. We love the meaning. We think it really works with what we're singing about because it's so personal. So it kind of stuck since then.
It's almost like a mantra now for you as well. It's kind of directing you in terms of what you've got to write songs about in the future.
I really like that as well. I think that's... And we always try to write stuff that's personal to us and stuff that has, you know, that we can relate to personally. Just because when you're up on stage singing it or, you know, in the studio or wherever it is, you can... Well, I feel like I can just connect to it a lot easier, and hopefully people can see that as well.
Absolutely. But well, yeah, let's pick another moment from the record to go out on. Out of My Control is one that I really like from the record. Can you tell me a bit about this one?
Yeah, great. One of my favorites as well. I feel like this happens to me quite often, but I'll wake up from a dream and in the morning, you know, in fact, someone told me that you should never tell anyone what your dream was until you've had breakfast. But by that time, I quite often forget what I've been dreaming about or what I had the dream about. So this is about that. You wake up, you had like a really, really cool dream, and you want to tell everyone what it's about, but by the time you get around to it, you've forgotten and it's all a bit hazy. And you kind of just wish you'd go back to that moment that you were having the dream.
That's fantastic. Well, I don't get the bit about you got to wait till breakfast before you tell someone. Is that a superstitious thing or something?
Yeah, someone said it's really bad luck to tell someone your dream until you've had breakfast. So, yeah, don't do that from now on. Otherwise, you'll have loads of bad luck.
I've never heard that before, but it's going to stick in my memory now, and I'll never I'll never ask my partner, what did you dream about last night, until we've eaten something.
That's it.
That's fantastic. All right, listen, it's been good to talk to you, Andy. All the best in the future. Good luck with this record, and let's hear this track from Hon right now. Out of My Control, all the best.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for supporting it. This morning I woke up, I don't recall the time. I had the most amazing dream. Over, never mind. I'll tell you over breakfast in a minute. Let me rewind. But you really won't believe me.
should be worried.